Welcome to the Hatch podcast for Hive.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sunday of Sheaf Poetry Festival. I'm really happy to welcome Hive South Yorkshire, who do so much for young writers in the region, and their writers are doing so well. We've had Georgie Woodhead as the Young Poet in Residence for the festival. We've had Warder, who's come up through Hive South Yorkshire, launch her pamphlet yesterday. So it's really, it really shows the brilliance of Hive and the nurturing they provide to their young writers. I'm going to introduce Sile, who is going to then introduce the writers. So if we give a big warm welcome to Sile and to Hive South Yorkshire.
That's the first time anyone's ever said hey back to me, which is good. I'd like to welcome you all, as Suzanne said. Thank you very much. And thank you for having us here. It's really good that there's a platform for young people to come and perform, which is exciting. So my name is Sile Sibanda. I am a performer and writer, and recently I'm a journalist. Oh my God, what? From forensic scientist to journalist. So I work for BBC Radio Sheffield. I won the This Is Me competition. So you guys, thank you very much. I might be contacting you all soon to come on the radio, because I believe we need a lot more poetry and a lot more creativity on that. And it's my mission by the end of this year to have a program specifically for poetry. Thank you. So, Hive, if some of you don't know, runs groups, Writers' Day, open mics, projects and competitions and anthologies for young people in South Yorkshire. And I have Warders right here. So it's round the back, guys. £5, please support. She's an amazing writer, and her sister's going to read for us today. So I'm looking forward to a lot of that. But before that happens, I am going to be the sacrificial poet. So the first person that reads, so everyone else doesn't feel as nervous. Now, in poetry, if there's a line that you like, you do a bit of this. Or you go, I like a good It lets the poet know that they're doing a good job and encourages them to carry on. So if you see something and you hear something, don't be afraid. Make those lovely sounds and the clicks. Okay, so this poem is called You Faded. I first saw you on the stage and then on a bus. You were tall, dark, dangerous. I tried to get your attention with little success, so I stored my fascination in the left side of my heart in the folder to be continued. With fate on my left and destiny on my right, you finally noticed me. We were like two-year-olds discovering mirrors for the first time, our conversation effortless. Our bodies synced as one, moving rhythmically to the sound of wild thoughts. Wild thoughts, wild actions. Me knocking at your door so I can get permission to escort you from the to be continued folder into the crush section. 30 minutes transformed into 2 hours where we explored the world of uni. Living the present and travelling to New Orleans, where I opened your ears to the smooth sound of jazz. Marching into a documentary about the most dangerous man in the drug kingdom, reminiscing to ourselves, reliving the moments that made us. Your seat in the crush section was ready for you. Until you decided to wander into the trash section, where 2-3-4 hour replies were the norm. You made residence there when I saw you with her. My heart skipped a beat, I blinked, you faded, and you couldn't even make eye contact with me. I stare at this empty chair thinking, maybe I overread the situation, maybe the signs were wrong, but even then, before moving into the trash section, around the corner from the to be continued folder, one door down from the crush section. Before wandering, all I needed was eye contact, signaling me to save you a seat in the friend zone instead. Thank you. much, guys. So our first poet is called Sundus Yassin. She is only 14 years old. She's a British Somali and her family has long connections with poetry. Her uncle is a poet and her older sister, Warda, also part of Hive, has launched her first poetry publication with the poetry business. So please welcome Sundus!
About me. Nothing much to say. How to eat a map. One, but this little Africa, it's too hot. Two, enlarge Greenland. No one ever talks about it enough. Three, carefully pick up the map. Four, lift it to your mouth and watch the colonists take over. Five, bite, chew and swallow. Have a sip of the Baltic Sea with Russia. It's hard to swallow. Six, push away the screams of the natives from your mouth. Earthquake. I remember when I found out white walls echo everything, even silence, and how much tears look like blood diamonds. And I remember how skin can turn blue and green and yellow, no matter how dark, how much I hate the smell of gas, and how kinky hair can only shine in such a light. I remember waning by a foggy window, watching the blur into Jar Street. Oh, how I remember when I spoke for the first time. They're there, blurring in my new ears, but I don't remember when I cried. How could I forget when I learned the sound of just vibrations and that your voice had less power than everyone I thought?
Damn, girl! I have this line, right, that you did that I have to say again. When you said, white walls echo everything, even silence. That was good. 14 years old writing like that? Oh my God, please keep writing, because you're going to be absolutely amazing. You're going to be like the next Warda. So next up we have Lauren Green. Lauren writes both poetry and prose, and is currently working on her first novel. Lauren writes about all kinds of things and is interested in exploring sexuality and mythology in her writing. She's going to read a few of her poems and poems from another poet who's also called Lauren, who cannot be here. Please welcome Lauren!
I'm now aware that my phone is somewhere under the sand. But yeah, so I thought I'd start with Lauren Hollywood Smith. She's really great. I'm really excited to be reading her poetry. But she can't be here. So first one's Reuben's Grin, which I was allowed to pick myself. We were playing cowboy shootout, and when the imaginary bullet hit his chest, he fell too fast and landed on his back. His eyes widened, and I saw crevices form across his cheeks as he strained against tears. But he didn't cry. He just sat cross-legged on the carpet, observing. And after a minute, staggered back up to join in. Shy, while the others grouped up on the task he worked on his own, sat at the desk in the corner, between the smart board and the window, paralysed by the blank paper in front of him. I asked, did he need help? And without looking up, he meekly commented, I'm not good at writing reviews. He drew some slanted boxes, each bearing a lopsided dog head, and wrote, pick a dog is good because you get to pick dogs. I suggested he illustrate the magazine cover. He asked if we could play the board game he made where he was Fireboy and pulled out a dice and paper from a Ziploc plastic wallet, shook it upside down to let snippings fall out, our items, then explained the rules, words tumbling out so fast they were slurred together. He rolled a six and hiked across volcano, acquiring the key. With my wand, as instructed, I doused him in lava to make him drop it. And when I mimicked its molten sizzle, tss, Fireboy's grin sparked a fire that lit the room. I love that one. I just feel weird saying that when I'm up here. It's like, it's not my phone, so I can say it. But yeah, then she's got one called Dad, which won third place and was described as like superb. And I was like, yeah, it is. You were screams of laughter around a piano, running in circles to catch your voice, words floating around the room snatched up in my palm. I fed them to you, and you regurgitated stories. You were no chocolate, no sweets, no TV. Those harrowing biology lessons, moroseness behind a pair of glasses, omniscient. My primary school thesaurus, the time traveller, the wanderer who survived a tumultuous storm in a New Guinean banana boat. Stacks of herbal remedies at the top of the fridge, Bach, white rose and aspen, fluent in the language of stones and crystals. You were crisp air and bobble hats, leaves and a troop of boots, undulated edge of oak twisting to dragon smoke, chocolate strawberries of the summer and sometimes fear. Your raised voice is still trapped in that doorframe where each syllable of molten rock echoes, smacks against the glass bottle, the glass pane, the shards still spiralling. In comp, you were deemed a drug dealer, axe murder. They'd say you bought your second wife. Even at your defence, I wondered whether you loved her, whether you loved anyone. Twice you've said these words to me. Once when I was an infant, they gurgling back out of my mouth, haphazard letters and aware of how I needed them. And that week post-op, me strewn across the sofa like a corpse, you read aloud to me an evil mythology. I wanted to say the words back, but they won't roll off my tongue. They stay warped and bitter behind my lips. Do I, Dad? Do I? You built me, but you don't know me. I want to grasp you again, like in those early days, but you slipped through my fingers, like dragon smoke. Your ghost hunches at the desk, working for corporations you hate, eyes numbed by screens, by money, by trying to hold together the marriage you only kept for your other family. I gather the pieces of you I have left, a moldy conker, bleached out camera film, box them in my room, where I keep my separate things, my separate life. So just getting with one of Lauren's lovely short poems. Good morning. Monday morning, a hand skirts the rim of a polystyrene cup, half-emptied instant coffee perched haphazardly on a melamine desk. Its occupant's eyes scan through a myriad of email texts, while fingers drum out a rhythm across faded keys. Tap, tap, tapping, like the click of a rusty bike chain, hurtling down a hill, pinned against the wind, past a blur of trees, slicing through puddles, skimming the line of the hedgerow on a summer's day, 24 years ago. Are those all the Laurens? The other Lauren, not me. So I shall start on my poetry, starting with I hate your Halloween costume, which is not seasonal, but it's still true. I am not your Halloween costume, your psych ward inmate, orange jumpsuit, bright straight jacket, tight muzzled like a dog. I do not need obedience classes. Mindlessly told to sit, stay, roll over, play dead. I've already perfected that last one. I am not your prisoner. I do not need punishment. I have not lied. There is no crime. I'm only guilty in your mind, and the only person I'd ever hurt is myself. I am not your insane Jane, your anorexia. I am not your skin tight mini hugging curves I do not have, because your October 31st is my November 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I am not your lycra in heels. I am hunger, skin that peels at the hands, greasy hair and water weight. Fear of food, a rock bottom, 4 stone 8. I am ribs when I stretch. I am dizzy faint. I am not your Piper Chapman orange jumpsuit, because I like my shirt and jeans and I look shit in orange, because orange is the new black and sick is the new sexy. And if you want a sexy psycho, she's not here. There's nothing appealing about a racing heart, sweating, shaking, heartbreaking, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. And when you wash your hands of this at midnight, I will do the same. I will wash them and wash them and wash them and wash them. And when you sleep this off, I will do the same.
After checking the fare, shaking off the illusion of normalcy 40 times and stroking your ego 4 times while you rest your head. And when you take your curtain call, so will I, and make sure the fabric overlaps just so. When November 1st comes, I'll put my costume back on. It's a great one, really realistic, and so expensive. Thousands in therapy and drugs, so I've got to get my money's worth. And so I hate your Halloween costume. I hate that you can take it off without pulling the sleeves inside out and checking the pockets. If you want to try on my illness for a day, I would not recommend it. I am not your manic pixie dream girl dancing with the fairies, the angels, the other mystical, magical made-up beings like me. If 364 days a year I'm barely a person, you don't get to play me for one. To wear me, you'll need my heart, my soul, some brains and bone once I would have given them to you. But I'm sorry, my costume has been discontinued due to your lack of interest 364 days a year. If I've timed this right, which, who knows, I will finish with one last poem of mine called Queer Battle Cry. I breathe the air of Oscar Wilde, the heady scent of green carnations and lapels. I walk the path of Walt Whitman, one foot in front of the other, away from expectation and into the unconditional embrace of nature. Nature does not care for judgment. A flower has never read a Facebook comment. Nature doesn't think a person can be built wrong. I bow to my stone wall sisters, built of stronger stuff than just stone. They are silk wrapped around titanium skeletons. Their mouths taste of purpose and their tongues of feathers and knives at once. I fall asleep not to lullabies but to the battle cries of Audre Lorde, the call to arms of a hurricane formed into the shape of a person. My foot taps not to the beat of music but to the collective breath of every person who has survived one more day on this earth, one more moment that feels as if it weighs on their solar plexus like an expectation they can't meet. I march with the misfits and the freaks, with the people so used to marching alone. What no one tells you is that when people used to fighting by themselves team up, you will fight 100 people who used to take on the world single-handed. The world stands no chance. I walk with the spectres, and I do not shiver because I am cold, but because their hands on my shoulders grip so tightly. They know what it is to run, and the only place they'll have me run is into the fray.
Lauren, who cannot be here, her use of words. I can actually picture what she's talking about, which is like, damn. And Lauren number two, Lauren with the Y, fancy. Your poems just make me laugh and they make me happy. And I wrote here, orange with the exclamation mark. I think you'd look good in orange. I can just see you wearing some nice orange stuff next time. We see Lauren Orridge, we all have to like say, remember the poem. And nature doesn't care for judgment. That is so true. And I believe, and I'm seeing a lot more young people actually taking care of nature, which is, yes, which is good, and taking care of Mother Earth, which is what we should all do, and buy plants, and loads of plants. That's what I'm gonna do when I move out at home. Our next poet is Elle Worthy. Elle has been a long member from Elle has been a long-term member of Sheffield Young Writers. He writes poetry and magical realism fiction. He loves to travel, and I think this is amazing. I'll say it again. And can detect the exact Beyoncé perfume someone is wearing in seconds. What? And he's also the biggest Beyoncé fan in the world. Please welcome Elle Worthy.
I'm a bit tall, so I'm going to have to like...
Move it up? No, I can't.
I don't know what I did there, but...
Oh, thank you.
That's the highest, sorry.
This first poem is called Learning to Love, and I've always had a hard time learning to love myself, so this is about that. It's hard to look inwards for a change. So long I've incited violence against myself. Words spit at me from the mirror, but there's a song I keep returning to. A deer running through the woods and I see a deer. Have you ever picked up a book, flicked it to a random page and noticed it's the same page you keep returning to? The spine is broken in just the right places. I tell myself I love you and it seems a little forced because saying that is like swearing in a cathedral or trying to rewrite what is written in marble. I've said words I've been desperate to hear. I've said words I've been scared of saying. My whole body transcends, rips open with tenderness, fills itself. Thank you. This next poem is about when I was really depressed. There was a bridge near my house, and I used to go to the bridge, and it was over a rail track. And I used to imagine like everyone who'd wronged me, everyone who had abused me, my depression on that train, and just going far away from me. It's called Parting. I go to the bridge daily to watch you pass on the train beneath. The tracks grow on, you grip the seat too tight. A million thoughts die to become you. Black dog, this chrysalis of a heart, it's a too good parting. You fly closer, the train nearer, looking like Monk painted you on the window. Head in your hands, this space between is stretched out. You never spoke much, which is why we haven't got long left translates to goodbye. You know whose turn it is to jump, I just tell you when. And this last poem is called Kintsugi. It's like this Japanese tradition when like broken pottery is fixed back together with gold, and it was really beautiful. Six centuries have passed, and you still hear the echo of the smash, chipped and broken shards cut in the air. You were history then, atoms before ideas, before cells crashed, and you came out of the womb head first. You broke once, maybe twice by the age of two, once in the lungs. Your mother was shaking the cot and couldn't find your breath. The doctors pulled you back together, stitches and scars and kisses, golden ones for little stars. You break over and over and rise on weak legs to the orchestra of your own heart breaking, rising from dust, chained earth, moonlight, shattered pieces. 6 centuries have passed and the cracks still show. But now we retrace the edges with gold. Now we retell the stories the way they deserve to be told, because I am worthy of them.
And you are worthy of them indeed. Talking about the bridge, right? There's immigration matters or migration matters that's coming soon, and there's a guy who talks about a magical bridge that has no, like, it's just floating in the air. And when you were just talking, or when you were saying your poem, I can just imagine just like the train going by and they just this magical bridge. Ooh, scary. So next up we have Kia White. Kia is a member of Doncaster Young Writers. She writes poems about all sorts and is often attracted to the surreal and exploring what it is to be a strong female. Please welcome Kia!
This is when I realised the writing's really small and I'm quite blind. This first poem's called She. She's a bitch, a crowd pleaser, a sycophantic daydreamer, a shining star of pleasantry, or so it seems. She's got a short fuse and nothing to lose but bullets, half possessed and half possessive. All fallen angel, mostly stable, held together with unearned compliments and confidence, a confidant of criminals, an advocate of infamy, the devil's best, and yet seems blessed by some curse of heaven. She glides daintily into rooms in winter boot-cladded hooves and with horns adorned with flower crowns. the best in town at freak show philandering and pandering to the circus crowd. She smiles with gaiety at the upper deck, the top middle classes down in glasses of Prosecco and blood. She's a mover, a shaker, a chess player. Her story's splashed with villainy and mystery. She's good at managing and spinning webs, dancing in the dark. She's hot and howling, a beast yet to meet defeat. All heart, no soul, a fighter lighting petrol bombs, blowing up monuments of revolutions that do her wrong and singing songs of silence. A warning, a woman of great repute who makes mutes out of bold men who dare to waltz into her cunning lair, meeting lairs of unadulterated self-expression, self-indulgence, and God, she's fun to hate. An 11th hour effigy of some sinning religious hope, less smoke, more mirrors, acidic, tart, addictive, fun to snort, and shoot, swallow whole, my downfall, my antithesis. And marking this a compliment, when the world is cruel, so is she, and for all her wrong she boasts a blip, a love of fools and foolish love, and God, I love her, this femme fatale, this witch. I'd copycat all her sins and burn through all human feats if she'd be so cruel just once to me. This next poem is about when you meet someone and you kind of go straight from introducing to yourself to being like, yeah, so I'm kind of afraid of dying. It's called I'm Still Not Dead Certain You'd Call This Friendship. I met him on the operating table, butterflied open, someone's Sunday dinner, his organs fighting delights. His lungs screamed at me, his mouth wrenched open, an echoed laugh ringing. Blood got in my shoes, pooling on the tiles, it squelched, soaking into my socks. I didn't like the warmth, the intimacy, how it clung to me like evidence, a testimony I ought not to have witnessed. But still I attempted the surgery, and for each cut I made I felt myself scar. His corpse lifted a scalpel to mine, unbolted my kidney, my liver, my heart, unstitched my lips and mingled our tissue. We danced the dance of the undead, recounting long lists of injuries and prophecies, things we were warned about as our skin grew blue. Our mangled bodies threaded together, laughing at the goop of us, the abomination, an autopsy of strangers no longer. Dissection had turned flesh to chum. This last poem was inspired by the poem What Do Women Want by Kim. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. It's called To Have and To Hold. I want the cake, perfectly iced with marzipan so thick I can take a slice, and cheddar cheese plated on the side. I want the garland and the cable runner all in matching colours. I want the aisle and the march, the murmurs of female relatives in stupid hats, the oohs and ahs, the doesn't she look gorgeous. I want to stand there, silver ringed and gleaming, while they listen for when I whisper, I do, I can, I will. I want the bride or groom to disappear or melt away, whichever I decide. I want the white dress cut to my knees, show the curves in my calves, my shoulders, my boobs. I want the chunky hooker heels that lead me out, bouquet swinging. And I'll walk in the, down the street in it on some grey Tuesday, and I'll walk to the centre of town, past the pubs and men that sneer, past the middle-aged guys who stare and wives that pull away their prize, and I'll walk past the places that sold me everything. I'll say fuck you through the window. And I'll scream at the people who told me that love was bigger than me, that I wasn't love itself. Fuck you all. I'll walk till my feet bleed, and I'll abandon my shoes and keep going, till my dress is dirty and sweaty and bled through till the mirrors are smashed and the ceiling is burnt, till my mascara is running and my red lips are smeared on the mouths of the cynics and the clowns. And I'll become a spectacle, feared and adored, with my album printed in the papers. I'll bask in the confetti of ashes and the best bloody boughs, and I'll have the first dance, and I'll dance alone. Then I'll have my cake, and I'll stand, and I'll throw it.
Here you are, everybody. Can I get invited? Am I invited? Oh, thank you very much. I'm invited, guys. Oh my God, I'm about to get my hat. So next up, we have Louisa Rhodes. Louisa has been part of Hive Sheffield Young Writers for many years. She writes poetry and fiction, and occasionally short screenplays. She likes to take inspiration from unlikely sides of life. And she's normally found in the corner of Waterstones or at home cuddling her cat. Please welcome Louisa.
I was lucky enough recently to be invited to be part of a Candlestick Press 10 poems pamphlet. They do these little things, they're just a fibre there. Instead of a card, I think, they're trying to spread poetry through cards and get it under people's noses without realising. Anyway, so this is in 10 poems about trees and it's called Yew Tree. They have come to mourn again. I find it strange. Sometimes they cry and hold hands, rub each other's backs as if the warmth will banish the cold. It makes me sad to see them so empty, so disregarding of the kind flowers and birds that come to keep them company. Sometimes they just stand still and apart, untouching, like trees on a windless day. If anyone doesn't know, this is Halfway Smile. It's Hive's last published anthology.
It's on the bookstore.
It's on the bookstore, so go get one. And it includes a lot of poems and stories that won the previous competition before last, and I was lucky enough to be highly commended in. So this is my poem, Mornings. Days do not come without mornings, that is a given. An undisputed fact that needs no discussion at all. When was the last time we talked about mornings? Not mine, not yours, not any one person's or their bleary eyes. When was the last time we talked about sunrises, about dawns, about birdsong over the sound of traffic, engines awakening before people do? I cannot have my day without my morning. Maybe I don't want it anyway. Sunlight through curtains is scissors through paper, birdsong, the siren of my alarm clock. My body aches at the thought of tiredness, the thought of time, the thought of dredging up a day like a shipwreck from the ocean floor, with no promise reward except a long dead carcass. Start small, awake. Notice the ache and stop. Sigh. Today is another day. Today is another life. This is called What We Did Not Talk About. Have you been well? No, I did not say. I've been ill, in hospital, out, in again, through the revolving doors in both directions. I did not tell you of the night that lasted for years, or the week following when I brushed my teeth only once. I did not say that I missed your last birthday on purpose, or that I'm staying on a friend's sofa at the moment and it's not yours. And I did not explain my scuffed up shoes, or my ill-fitting new work clothes, or my hair. And I did not mention the bruise on my hand because you'd worry. You'd always worry. And we did not talk about the last time we met, about the talking that turned to shouting, that turned to silence in the taxi home. We were both tired, you told your flatmate. we did not talk about the ring on your left hand, and I did not say how much I missed you and hated you and longed for you. And we did not talk about tomorrow, because for now it is today. So we talked about today. And this next one is my attempt at some kind of spoken word poem. So here goes. When I think of you, I think of candy floss and dental floss, and that time you almost lost your wallet down the back of the sofa. I think of TV box sets, anticipation offset by buffering Wi-Fi. You said you'd ring them up, get them to speed it up, but one can only dance to hold music for so long. When I think of you, I think of breaking into playgrounds in the middle of the night. Gate locked, but you're not at all put off because the gate only comes up to your thighs. I think of those swings and roundabouts, playthings that are calling out to be sat on and swung on and bumped against the backstop tyre like dodgems in the dark. When I think of you, I think of bus rides home, of timetable lies that make fools of us both, of bobble hats and knitted gloves and holding hands in secret because I'm shy. Shy to show that I love. Shy to stick my head above the crowd from time to time because God forbid you do anything to show you're just a little bit alive. Sometimes I think about your something's hidden side smile. Won't see you for a while smile. And when the day comes round that I get to see you once again, I'll think of you all the days before and all the days and weeks since then. I think about the night we held hands whilst we slept. I don't want to let go, you said. Didn't want to lose you down the other end of the bed, except I'd always be there in the morning. And so would you. And I know this would always be true. And I know we can't long distance spoon. So when we can't, I'll spoon for two. You left your jumper on the back seat of my car. One day I'll return it. I'm always joking that maybe instead I'll burn it, but passive aggressiveness can only go so far. Your favourite perfume must be on that jumper, because I always smell it when I go wandering round the block late at night, following the glow of bright white headlights, like a moth to a flame, yearning for warmth, seeking out heat and shelter from storms. But I know can find it, and with the most beautiful of views, because I know I'm at home when I'm thinking of you. This last one is also from a Hive anthology, Wild Poetry, and it's all about poetry around wild and native plants to the UK. And this is about juniper, which is what we use to make gin, and it grows natively in the UK. It's also dedicated to my granny. A note to juniper. You trickster you, stealing my logic, making me kiss people I don't even recognise. I bet you laugh at us when you see us falling over from your oily grip. But how pretty you are, juniper, and how determined to grow on mountains and not look down. I'll drink to that.
Thank you. That was some beautiful poetry. Thank you for that, Louisa. And the second to last poem that you did, you had me thinking about my loved ones, and that was really good because I kept on imagining people that I know that I miss and that I'm gonna, I feel like I'm gonna message after this. So thank you very much for that. So next up we have Georgie. She is a member of Sheffield Young Writers and she's also the Sheff Festival Poet Young Poets in Residence. At the age of 16, she has a lot of great poetry under her belt. She really does. She really does. And she has won a lot of amazing competitions. I was attempting to say them when I was sat there and I was like, I'm going to make her really
I'm going to make a fool of myself, so I might not say them. I'm going to ask her to come and mention some of the competitions that she's won when she comes to perform. But please welcome Georgie!
So this is one that came second in the Ledbury. That's one of them. It's called Collins. Harry Collins was an artist who called himself a father. He used bad jokes and foggy laughs, heavy breaths that wheezed sometimes when words rolled in and out but never touched the air. He was things that he thought better of saying. Thick stubble and baggy jeans like sacks, oversized white shirts, scuffed paper trainers. He was toothpicks and dimples, rough skin and fidgeting, a paintbrush dabbed on brother's nose. He was a grin that faded almost immediately, died on the lips, eyes of china vases and blobs of wobbling ink. Harry Collins was mixing colours and classical music. He was finding it hard to get up and out of bed in the morning. He was yawning, paint palette in hand, like a multicoloured plastic hedgehog and canvases that were never quite right. He was sketches when there were stones to skim. He was concentrating when there was an orange hula hoop stuck in a tree, and he was the opening lines of a story that stopped when he shook his head like a bad dream. Just to clear it up, I don't think anything here is actually based on anyone, anything real at all. This is called Baby Blues. My mother presses her finger into her swollen belly button like she's trying to find an eject switch, a shiny puckered undo. My father says she's beautiful, the way she's beach ball and water balloon. She feels there is hot blood stirring in her belly. My father blows ripe raspberries onto my mother and kisses the body under her skin, presses his lips to the pink maggot of its small mouth. He dreams of uncalloused feet like white beach stones, the legs swimming in her tummy. For weeks she would sit on the toilet and cry, her tracksuit bottoms around her ankles. She saw her white squashed legs and said fat, and the word filled her mouth like an olive. There were purple bruised veins that looked like spiderwebs running under her skin. She pinched the meat of her thighs with her nails and left puncture marks. Listened to the sound of pearls plinking into the white sink. She cradled her bulge that she could unpeel like an onion. I'm not part of this story. I'm storyless. My father is excited by the whole thing and buys a spinning mobile with crescent moons hanging from it. He holds it up and turns the silver shapes that look like toothy half smiles. My mother is the one carrying a tangle of limbs. She doesn't like the idea of tiny hands inside of her. I'm going to do another one that I haven't really properly looked at or edited, and as I read it, I know I'm going to just wince because there are things that I need to tidy up, but I'm going to read it anyways. Shopping trolley women. Women who stand on one leg with half a smile they unwrap on special occasions such as birthdays. The bones in their face are high set and stiff like scaffolding. They tell their husbands not to chew so loud. At night, they sit on their bed and drop rat poison into their eyes to kill the squealing in their brain. Women who stand on one leg have difficulty moving around. Instead, they stand in front of the mirror and practice their jelly hips, their smile, their marzipan skin, their peppermint tea. Women who stand on one leg don't ask for a crutch. They feel the pull of the front crawl and they swim into the kitchen through no water using the muscles in their arms. They push shopping trolleys around tiled floors and fill them with divorce papers, desperate notes. Women who push their trolleys down the hill and celebrate the whizzing wheels that spin them down. Women who stand on one leg, suck the sauce off their fingers after dinner like ice lollies, lie about their lives and their dress sizes, try to fold their stomachs up into tiny paper springs and carve their own love letters into their hands. I'm just going to do one short ones called Pebbles to ease it to place. At night, Mother murmurs with another voice in the dim lamplight of the living room. Eavesdropper sits like crumpled paper, a first draft peering through the banisters above, small fingers tapping, white knuckle, dinosaur pyjama, scruffy armed. Teaspoons clink, awaken mugs. Monotone voices sink into drowsiness. The dog yaps at silence, ears sharp against the world, unwelcome and strange in its shadow. It pulls against trains, argues with the dark, scribbled out clouds that never answer back. Lights blink out in the upstairs windows like pebbles thrown into a well, swallowed out of sight. At night, secrets are whispered and stick to the spiderweb empty rooms. Words are left hanging. They fall, but never drop. Thank you.
You just want to sit down and just listen to her words. Damn. Mm. Yes, I think it was yesterday, a couple of days ago, you came into BBC Radio Sheffield and she left the presenter like going, oh my God, how does she do that? And I was like, I know! How does she do it? I don't know! So, very talented young lady. Very, very talented young lady. Next up, we have Danae! Now, Danae is a singer, a performer, and a stunning poet, and she's also an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. She started a project called Nayara, where she wants to introduce poetry and other art forms to more young people from all backgrounds to help them and nurture new talent. Please give it up for Danae, please!
Thank you so much to Vicky for organising this, for Hive, and creating all these amazing opportunities for us, because, man, I'm sure a lot of us didn't think that we'd be doing things like these. Yeah, so thank you so much. and to all the incredible poets that's come on so far, and the ones that are to come as well, big up your bad selves.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off with Halfway Smile, which is an incredible anthology of some of the Hive young writers. It's about losing my son in 2016. I had a miscarriage, and it's just basically about processing how it went from one day here and next minute you're not. I remember the day I brought you home. My arms clinging to the pastel yellow box. I turned the key in the lock and entered a house filled with the stale smell of half-fried dumplings from the night before. The frying pan still on the side, the greasy spatula waiting to fry some more. The days were reminiscent of summer, all that light pouring through my vacant flat, everything in its place as it was, but the difference was you. Tiny little flowers dancing on your box. My clammy fingers hesitated to open this container that carried life itself. I unwrapped the 8 inches of your tiny body, the fleshy, almost translucent skin that was yours, a life so perfect but not fully formed. Fragile fingers rested gently across your chest in the same position I'd find your father in playing his guitar. Closed eyes and pursed lips, a smile that says almost. I'm half here and half there. A halfway smile. I was afraid to cradle you in my palms for fear I would disturb the perfection surrounding you. Fear you would be broken, your skin like cold jelly underneath my fingers. A strange sensation. My tiny human, halfway here, halfway there. Your halfway smile, perfectly formed. Thank you. And this one is called Our Long Song, inspired by BBC Three's The Long Song, which is about a slave girl in 19th century Jamaica. Yeah. Can I open it? I come from cut off tongues and chokers round our necks. We are women and men cursed with a mouthful of silence. I come from maidservants who shied away from the touch of their daughters. A hug held a thousand memories shrouded in pain and longing. Stifled screams nearly became their name. Instead, she called her Iona. Because even though Master Hot branded her skin, her mother still owned her. She was bound to her by the umbilical cord. I come from cool sweat soaking the white dresses that cling to our bodies, gyrating to an ancient tune, Kamina, spellbinding on a kete drum, boom, boom, da-dum, can you feel it? I come from pulsating hearts conjuring Christ, the spirit rising like a wild flame, serpentine moving through our epileptic bodies. A god sits on our head and rides us at the witching hour. We are the grandchildren they couldn't burn. I come from deep roots, pounded herbs in clay pots, cowrie shells thrown to divinate destinies. The Egun would show you your freedom in a distant time and space-time travelling while we floated over our bodies, watching ourselves free from a vessel in bondage. Was this freedom? I come from long journeys on foot where rebellion felt like strong callous feet pacing hastily through blue mountains. It felt like shade under a banana tree from a scorching tongue of the sun. It tasted like fresh snapperfish and okra stew, steaming ready to feed hungry days of belly, It sounded like conch shells calling us to our safety. It smelt like love, death, and revolution. And this is the last one. This is lesson from Mama. Mama, why you never tell me I was a beautiful black girl? That one day my black would be a whitewashed spectacle for colonial eyes in this rat race struggle. Me learn them things in a hard way. How strangers would drain the last of my dignity from the well of my heart. The famine that sweep through the island of my bodies, leaving me begging to drink from any cup that held love. Me smoke my way through. The curve of my lips clinging to the last of my spliff, blowing sanctified herbs in the faces of demons. Until they scurried away to find new homes. But always they returned with a vengeance, my unholy crucifixion. My fight my way through, you know, to the scars them from my heart. Them show themselves as I spill my guts through my esophagus, the purple bruises across my knuckles, the muddy blood oozing along your shiny coffee table. You're really going to tell me not to make a mess of it? Am I insulting a pride whiter than master's male privilege? Mama, why you never teach me about a strong black woman? You teach me how to wear shame as my garment, my shroud of secrecy. You take the beating he would dish out to you, fattening you up with curses underneath his breath, lashings precisely aimed at your heart. Take what was given even though it killed you to your core. There were times when you closed the door and poured down like a monsoon, your grains and silent prayers lingered heavy in the dead air. Had us walking around the vacant home, eyes dark and distant. All this lodged inside my chest, a sharp sword of silence that cut through brick like water. Thank you.
Absolutely incredible. So thank you to all the wonderful poets that came up. Thank you to Sundus, to Lauren, to Elle, to Kia, to Louisa, to Georgie, to Lauren again, who's not, who can't be here, and to Danae. Oh my God, can you please give her another round of applause? Okay, that's all right. And I also want to say thank you to Vicky. Just a big an amazing woman who gives. She does not expect anything in return. And it's very, very hard to find people like Vicky. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. You are the, I'm gonna cry, no. not today. Oh, but thank you so much. You're the,
thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
And thank you also to Susanna for giving us this space and for letting us express our words, for being vulnerable, because poetry is a vulnerable art. You're writing your heart out and you're telling everybody what you feel, what you think, and you never know what people are going to think. So for giving us this space, thank you very much. Thank you to Chef Festival. Thank you to all of you for being here today. You know, you could be at home watching Coronation Street. You could be like outside, you know, but you're here. Thank you very much. And I'm gonna say one more poem and then we're gonna finish, which is sad. I once said this poem at a university competition, and I choked because the girl before me did a similar poem and she was amazing. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, I'm gonna fail, I'm gonna do this so wrong. And I got on stage and I did let my fear get to me. And I did halfway through kind of stop because I forgot all my words. So this is the second time I'm gonna read it out. And I wrote this poem in a Hive writing day on a Saturday with Vicky. And I've never written this kind of poetry before, so it's like different and it's cool and I like being challenged. So I hope you guys like it. It's called Father. Oh no, it's not. it's called Loving from a Distance. His hair was a jungle, untamed branches spiraling out of control, a paradise in my dreams. His eyes screamed, love me, look at me. If you don't, their hatred would make a deaf man hear. His cries, artificial crops manufactured to increase disease. His laugh, ashes scattered in the Dead Sea. His mouth, a shotgun. His words, ammunition, pellets that spread out when penetrating your body. Their intention, maximum damage. His arms, swords, genocide its main mission. Leave no man behind, leave no stone unturned. His hands, a truck with its brakes cut, traveling 90 miles an hour on a residential road with houses made by her. His legs were lampposts on a street corner at 9 p.m. His feet, landmines activated by Stella. Sensitive to laughter, joy, and happiness. His heart resigned or retired, we don't know which. It just left a letter stating a bowl with holes shall take its place instead. Below, a grave dug for all the drained love, affection, and trust. His torso was a brick wall, behind that a concrete wall, behind that a stainless steel wall, behind that a young boy. Naked, bruised, with no food. After calling the CIA, FBI, South Yorkshire Police, even Mugabe's army, none would pick up the phone. So dig a hole underneath a pier on the other side. The young boy, a myth, a hologram. His torso is now a prison with no escape. The ground is filling up with lava, inch by inch. My only regret, not loving from a distance. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Ooh, hey, go behind there. There's some amazing anthologies. This is one. Somebody else has another one for Halfway Smile, please. Can you raise that in the air? There you go. And there's more, and there's more, and there's more. Please buy them. Please support everybody. Thank you very much.